It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Social Security Administration is investigating the alleged embezzlement of funds from a Cambria County guardianship agency, which handles the finances of incapacitated people under its care. Reporter Hallie Stockton has been covering this story for our content partner, Public Source, and she joins us now in Studio A with the details. Hallie Stockton, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Nice to be here.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002. If you are affected by this in some way, we'd like to hear from you, 412-246-2002. 2002, the number to call. Hallie, let's begin by just having you sum up for us what is happening in Cambria County.
Right. Federal authorities, in this case, the Social Security Administration, is trying to ascertain if an embezzlement occurred from this Cambria County guardianship agency, Distinctive Human Services. So they're probably looking through the books, talking to employees. We can't really find out all the details in the investigation because it's the Social Security Administration's policy not to share details of ongoing investigations. But we do have a source who is privy to this because he is involved in it. He is a guardian of his wife, who was previously under the care of Distinctive Human Services. He's trying to recoup funds on her behalf. He was involved in a court hearing that was, you know, very openly referring to this alleged embezzlement, and he reported back that they were discussing that more than $250,000 has been embezzled.
And this particular individual that you quoted, a Johnstown resident whose wife was in the care of DHS for about a year, he's trying to recoup the funds on her behalf. And he said in your story that he only knows about this because he took over his wife's guardianship. And he's wondering how many other victims don't know anything happened. How many more unsuspecting victims do you think there are?
That's also hard to tell at this point, but what my source, Joe Steigers, told me is that they were discussing that this money could have come from the accounts of several dozen wards. Let me tell you a little bit about these wards. They are, by definition, very vulnerable people. They can be elderly people, often people with dementia, all the way to, you know, middle-aged people who suffered a traumatic brain injury. In many cases, they have family members taking care of them, their guardians. But in these cases, why this guardianship agency provides this service is because a family member is either unwilling or unable to take care of their affairs, or the court has decided that the family is unfit to take care of them. So they decide to appoint an objective agency or independent guardian.
And so, again, these are people that are trusting those who are caring for them, who are their guardians, to be responsible to protect their assets. Their families are counting on them to protect these people because these are people who cannot manage their own affairs. So we're talking about people who really are vulnerable here.
Extremely, yeah. And in many cases, the ward may not even know that this agency or a guardian is taking care of their affairs. They're not really mentally present to take care of that kind of information, such as their finances. Are they going to sell their house? Are they, you know, liquidating their whole estate? Where are they going to live even? They're not making these decisions. They're not making the decision of what clothes are being put on them. It's really down to everything, eating, who they see, where they live.
It's all up to the guardians.
Absolutely.
Now, why do people in this case, the alleged victims, why do they need legal guardians? It seems like an obvious question to some, but for those who are familiarizing themselves with this story, what do they need to know about the situation these people are in and the situation that their families are in, that they are trusting their care and the managing of their financial affairs to these guardians?
Mm-hmm. Well, to explain that, I can tell you a little bit about a couple of the people I've spoken to in our region. One person I wrote about last August, Norma, she lives in Indiana County, and her mother has dementia. Her 83-year-old mother has dementia, and Norma and her brother didn't get along, and that became aired out in court, and a judge decided that an objective agency should take care of her mother because mother has dementia, wasn't able to take her own medications, drive, get to the right doctor's appointments. So she was put under an agency's care. In another case, I learned about a middle-aged man who was in a motorcycle accident and had a traumatic brain injury. And his family alleges that his wife is making questionable decisions. And so an attorney was placed as his guardian. Basically, they're not able to kind of go through the critical thinking process that it takes to handle all of the, you know, daily decisions that you or I make.
So the guardians can help by doing those decisions, handling those things for these individuals. But at the same time, how can they hurt these individuals? They have access to a lot of their accounts and their assets, don't they?
Yes, they have an extreme position of power. Even, you know, we're not talking politicians or government officials, but they have almost sole power over a person. Essentially, a ward is surrendering almost all of their rights to this person, and in some cases to a complete stranger.
And the people that are in charge, the people that are in the position of being the guardians, how are they vetted? How do we know? How does the state determine, and who determines if they are, whether they are trustworthy or unscrupulous?
Right, and that's a really good question. That's why the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania last year established an elder law task force to take on these questions. Because right now there are very few qualifications required to be a guardian. Basically, 18 years old and not a felon.
And, that's shocking, to be honest.
Right. And that's why there have been, you know, many problems, and this task force is looking at that, as well as how do we train guardians and how do we monitor guardians.
We're talking about an investigation into alleged embezzlement of funds from a Cambria County guardianship agency, which handles the finances of incapacitated people under its care. Reporter Hallie Stockton has been investigating and covering this story for our content partner, Public Source. If you have a comment or question for her, if you are in a situation or are affected in some way by this particular story, we'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. If the Social Security Administration, Hallie, finds improprieties, what happens next?
The Social Security Administration typically refers cases like this to the U.S. District Attorney in your area. So in our area, the U.S. District Attorney of Western Pennsylvania.
And so we know how long or what the timetable will be for their investigation?
Unfortunately, no. This is really kept under wraps while it's ongoing, and we just aren't able to ascertain when it'll be complete.
How did this come to your attention? You and the other your colleagues who we've spoken to on this program at Public Source are looking into all sorts of skullduggery that is happening around the state. And in this particular case, how did you get your lead?
I wrote a story about the topic of guardianship over the summer. And because there's very little reporting on guardianships and the abuses that can come from it. And after that, I got a flood of calls from people in the state and across the nation about this.
What are some of the stories that they're telling you? What are some of the things that they are sharing with you?
Some of them are really unbelievable, but going through court documents and being able to see it on paper that these are actually happening is amazing. One story was actually about a Pennsylvanian, a lifelong Pennsylvanian, an elderly woman who was visiting her other children in Florida with her daughter who lived in Pennsylvania, and an argument over her care erupted while they were on vacation. She has been in Florida since. That is a couple years ago. And that's because they got into this feud and it went, the courts got involved and she was assigned a legal guardian down there. And, you know, not only being stuck in a state, a different state than where you've grown up or lived your whole life, almost $1 million has been depleted from her estate in just a few years.
Wow. It sounds like there's a pattern here where oftentimes a family can't disagree on how the affairs of a relative should be handled, and so they want someone to intervene or they want to bring in a third party. Is that pretty much the pattern here?
Yeah, family conflicts are extremely common in this situation, and the judges just kind of, it seems from my reporting, they just kind of want to wash their hands of that and try to put an objective person in place.
Is there a cautionary tale for families here that you may want to do everything you can to resolve your family differences in terms of how these things should be handled before you turn guardianship of a loved one over to a third party or someone who may not care as much about that person as you do?
Yeah, a lot of experts and advocates will suggest that families make sure to get documents in order, sign power of attorney, medical power of attorney. I know after reporting on this for a little bit, I talked to my own family about it. It's definitely something that you want to consider. But even so, with some of the people I've spoken to for this, they had all their documents in order and somehow they can be misconstrued, and in a few of these cases, the family members left behind blame it on greed.
Hallie Stockton with our content partner, Public Source, who's been looking into the Social Security Administration's investigation of alleged embezzlement of funds from a Cambria County guardianship agency, which handles the finances of incapacitated people under its care. Has this agency commented at all for your story?
We did receive an email from the executive director essentially saying no comment because of confidentiality and privacy rules. That was after several phone calls to the agency and to the director's home trying to speak a little bit more about this. But that's all we got.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear how this story is resolved. We'll be following the progress of your investigation. And we will have a link to your story with our content partner, Public Source. You can find that link to Hallie Stockton's story at our website, WESA.FM. Hallie, great thanks.
Thank you.
Coming up, State of the Reunion host Al Leston talks about how the show is taking a different approach to celebrating Black history. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.